In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You would think by now that the Pharisees would figure out you don't mess with Jesus. However, they persisted. Now, their question was legitimate in what's the best commandment, because they had like 400. So, you know, it's sort of like, what rule should I follow? What's the most important rule of driving? You know, you want to figure out, you probably should go the speed limit and follow the signs. But otherwise, you know, there's so many to follow that one can become cumbersome with them. So his response is, you must love God above all other. Love your God above all other. And sometimes that gets a little tricky, because we love money, we love our animals, we love our family. You know, and those are, some are more legitimate than others to have as a priority, but the most important thing is that we love God. Because in the end, that's what we have. When it comes time that we take our last breath, that's who waits for us. That who lives within us and who waits for us on the other side. So God is who we should be loving. But he didn't leave it at that. He said we have to love our neighbor. And that isn't easy. Because there are people that make us very angry. And one of our clergy friends at the convention this week said he knows he's in trouble when he starts cussing when he's driving, that he's reached his level of stress, and that when everybody seems to make him angry. And so there's a point that we have that we know that God is asking us to love each other. This week, Friday and Saturday, I was at our diocesan convention. And we had a main speaker, Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas. She was an amazing woman, an Afro-American woman, priest, author. But she talked about racism and all that went with it, white supremacy, and where it came from. And she talked about how it's so ingrained in this country. Because it started back when England went to Africa and they were first time exposed to dark-skinned people. And they didn't know how to deal with it and how to identify it. Because we like to group things together. And in our English language, we have white that's pure and black that's ugly or dark, or so that within that very definitions of the words that we use, we already began to compartmentalize. You're good, we're bad. You're dark, I'm light. So she said it's time, and so when we colonized America, we brought that conditioning over with us, less than. And that it was time that we stopped categorizing people as good, bad, different. Instead, Scripture says that God created us in his image and likeness. He didn't say that he created white people in his image and likeness. He said he created people, everyone in God's image and likeness. And as Christians, we are to see God's image in every person we meet. And she challenged us as Christians to live up to our gospel, to what it is that Christ said, that Jesus said we are to love everybody, not just those that we like or those that look like us. So at our convention, in addition to this, there were several resolutions about how we should live our life in this diocese as Christians. And I'm going to go through them because I think they're very vital, because we approved all of them. We voted and we said this is the way we will stand in this diocese. And you'll have to bear with me a little bit because they made a little bit of editing and I hope I got it. But as soon as they get a complete copy, we'll make sure that you have them. So resolution number one was a stand against white supremacy. It is resolved that the Congregation of the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan decrees every form and expression of racism and white supremacy, including those expressions by all-white white supremacy, the Ku Klux Klan, Christian identity adherents, white nationalism, neo-Nazism, as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be it further resolved that we denounce and work against, repudiate white supremacy and every form of racial and ethnic hatred as evil and in non-compliance with our baptismal vows, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. We seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. And be it further resolved that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan work with others committed to continue the struggle to root out all remaining forms of intentional and unintentional racism in our midst, and be it further resolved that we earnestly pray both for those who advocate racist ideologies and those who are thereby deceived, that they may see the error through the light of the gospel, repent of these hatreds, and come to know the peace and love of Christ through every redeemed fellowship in the kingdom of God, which is established from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Resolution number two, sanctuary churches. Resolved that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan will support congregations that have committed themselves to provide shelter and sanctuary to people whose immigration status is being litigated, and be resolved that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan, with all congregations, will seek to learn about the meaning of immigration sanctuary and consider their role in this issue, and resolve that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan encourage all congregations to offer tangible and spiritual support to sanctuary congregations as their resources allow, and resolve that the sanctuary congregations will provide guidance to others who are considering this type of outreach and support for immigration. The third resolution, call for a humane and just immigration system. Resolved that the 183rd Convention of the Diocese of Michigan urge congregations to seek information in order to more fully understand the current immigration policies of the United States, the deportment policies affecting adults, children, refugees, and others, as well as the Secure Communities Program of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. And be it further resolved that the Episcopalians urge lawmakers and local officials to commit to the principles of humane immigration enforcement. And be it further resolved that the Episcopalians in the Diocese of Michigan are urged to seek collaboration in study and action with other congregations and community groups regarding immigration and deportation policies, as well as meeting, communicating with their elected representatives. Just last week, a 10-year-old girl who came for surgery was held. They finally let her have surgery, but then they detained her immediately after surgery, took her away from her parents, and are holding her. These are the things that are going on, and we need to learn more and more of what is being done to the people in this nation. Resolution number 4, call for basic human needs to be met. Resolved that the 183rd Convention of the Diocese of Michigan urge congregation to seek information in order to more fully understand the gospel, human obligation, and necessity to provide for current unmet basic human needs for water, food, shelter, and health care for every human being. And be it further resolved that the Episcopalians urge lawmakers and other public officials to commit to meeting the basic human needs for water, food, shelter, and health care. And be it further resolved that in addition to meeting and communicating with their elected officials, Episcopalians in the Diocese of Michigan seek collaboration and study and action with other congregations and community groups that are finding ways to meet the basic human needs for water, food, shelter, and health care. Resolution number 5. It started with suicide in teen girls, which has hit a 40-year high. It's resolved that the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan urges members of the diocese and its congregation and other interested persons to learn and educate others about the increased rate of suicide among young people. Become familiar with the many factors that can lead to suicide. Look for and encourage parents, family members, friends, teachers, clergy, and healthcare providers to look for the warning signs that young people are at risk. Warning signs include talking about wanting to die, talking about feeling trapped, talking about feeling unbearable pain or feeling like a burden to others, behaving recklessly, becoming socially isolated. This list is necessarily brief and not all-inclusive. Some people manifest very different warning signs. Some show none. Take action. Responses need to be tailored to the situation and the person in crisis. Some actions that may help include contacting physicians, hospitals, mental health professionals, and telephone hotlines. You can also take action when the person is not in crisis to help them and to educate yourself and to become a better advocate. We also are to create an open environment where young people are encouraged to discuss their concerns about themselves and others with their parents, teachers, and clergy, knowing that they can reach out for help and that someone will be there to help them. We are to teach coping and problem-solving skills, focusing on developing and strengthening communication and problem-solving skills, conflict resolution, help-seeking, and help-coping skills. We are to provide scriptural references that affirm that life is sacred. And we are to partner with community mental health and mental health providers in and outside our congregation, along with other outside agencies. This last one had so much discussion that somebody asked that it be held over. And one of the priests stood up and said, "I beg you not to. This last fall, my daughter committed suicide at the age of 20. She was transsexual and could never really feel where she fit in and struggled as she was trying to transition from being a male to a female. And it was very painful for the family and for those of us who knew her and tried to support her. So it was passed." So our love of neighbor is not something that we just pray for. It's about taking action. And we are being called by this diocese to join with other congregations to find ways to take action to solve some of the problems that we are dealing with in this society. And believe me, there are plenty. And it starts with each of us individually. But if all of us, of all the congregations, raise their voices, we can make change happen. As it says, we can be the change that we want in the world. So we are being called by the scripture to love our neighbor, to love God and love our neighbor, and through loving God, loving our neighbor. It's not easy. It's not easy to take a stand. It's not easy to stand out. But it's important that we find a way to do this together in love, because we are the future of America. In the Native tradition, they say that whatever we do today affects the next 7 generations. Let us hope that the impact we make on the world is so wonderful that in the next 7 generations, they will only read about racism, bigotry, and hatred. Amen.
Amen.